Today's scripture is taken from Matthew 4, 12 through 17, and it reads, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew from Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in the Capernaum of the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that when he had spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road of the sea across the Jordan, Galilee and the Gentiles. The people who sat in the darkness have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So I begin a new sermon series, and I wanted us to travel in this new sermon series along with the confirmation class. As you know, the confirmation students and I and the youth counselors and mentors have been meeting for these past few months. And on May 10th, it will be a wonderful Sunday where we will celebrate not only mothers for Mother's Day Sunday, but also Confirmation Sunday. And on that day, the youth will publicly confirm their faith, say their profession of faith, and follow and make a commitment to Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our strength, our Redeemer, now and forever. Amen. So the confirmation group has been doing many, many lessons, and the last few lessons that we've been doing, including one today and next Sunday and one more time, will be looking specifically at the vows they will make on that confirmation Sunday. Now, in the confirmation liturgy, it's in your worship, it's in your hymnal, it's following the baptismal liturgy, and all of our five youth were all baptized when they were infants. So for them, their baptism was an initiation into Christ's body. But now it's so exciting for the 16, 17, 18, and even one 19-year-old. It's going to be their official public confirmation, their choice, their decision to follow Christ. And in the hymnal liturgy for baptism and confirmation, there are many different words. And there's a section, there's three vows, where they renounce, accept, and confess their faith. I sometimes joke with my friends that when I do premarital wedding counseling, it's about 2-3 months long, 5 sessions. And our confirmation class has turned into nearly a 6-month long program with multiple sessions. So in a way, these youth are even more prepared for faith than some married couples are when they get married. The vows they take, renounce, accept, and confess. If you look at your worship bulletin on the back side where you can take notes, I have that first vow written where I ask of the youth, and you have become members and you've become part of the Methodist Church will have answered these vows yourself. The first one is asked, "On behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?" This is a hard question, and it's the very first vow or question that you will be asked when you become a member. The other questions are, do you accept the freedom, the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present to themselves? And the third question or vow you ask is, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you accept the freedom, the power that God gives you? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? So of these three questions, it sounds like maybe the second and the third one, to accept the freedom that power in God has given you, is an easy thing to do. Yes, how wonderful, I accept this freedom, this gift that God has given us. Then the third one, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? I think many of us will answer wholeheartedly, yes, it is easy. I do confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But now let's look first at that first vow, to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness. It might not be such an easy thing as the other two might be. For saying we renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, that we reject the evil powers of the world and we repent of our sin. It sounds like a kind of a great movie summary, where the hero rejects the spiritual forces of wickedness and renounces the evil powers of this world. We can think of many movies, I'm sure, that kind of follow this plot line. The Star Wars trilogy, the Luke and Leia, they resist the dark side. They resist the evil forces. Or one of my favorite movies, if you know I like old movies, The Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy and Scarecrow and Tin Man and the Lion, they resist the evil, wicked witch of the West. They don't give her Dorothy's shoes. They are resisting these evil powers of the world. Or what about a more current one, Harry Potter and his friends, his schoolmates, who are young children who are learning wizardry, and they resist evil Lord Voldemort, the dark side, the evil of this world as well. So when we talk then about renouncing the spiritual forces of wickedness, what does that mean? How do we renounce spiritual forces of wickedness? Is it so simple as when we had children's time and you could boo or cheer, you know, boo for the bad things, the evil forces? Or does it mean more than that? We know that Jesus himself was tempted many times and was called to resist wickedness, to resist the devil, to not give in to sin. In this morning's passage from Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 to 17, if you read earlier in the passage, Jesus has just come out of the wilderness, spending 40 such days in the wilderness resisting the devil who was tempting him. We know that when Jesus first comes out of the wilderness, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." For Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting, not eating. He is, of course, hungry. So a temptation of turning stones into bread would be a very big temptation for Jesus. But Jesus answers the devil, the tempter, and he says that it is written that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here, Jesus is renouncing these forces of wickedness by saying, "No, I do not choose you. I know I live by the word of God instead." In this action, Jesus is being offered an invitation to live a holy life. And when we follow in the footsteps of Christ, we are also offered an invitation to live a holy life and have eternal life with God. Another part of the vow is to reject the evil powers of this world. And Jesus again is tempted in Matthew 4, where the devil takes him to a very high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms below. And you know, if I preached on this before, and the devil says to him, "All these things I give to you, if only you will fall down and worship me." This is what the devil asks of Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Away, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" The devil then leaves him, and suddenly angels come and wait on him. I love these words that Jesus says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written." He is rejecting the evil powers of the world and saying straight out, "Away, away with you, Satan." He is choosing to reject this temptation, the sin and the evilness of the world. He is choosing to do this. We, as God's children, have this amazing thing called free will that God has given us. He gives us free will to choose. Now, I know it sounds kind of simple in a way. Oh, then it should be easy for all of us to choose the right way, to choose the right path, to know the right thing. But it's not so easy. And when you think about all the decisions that are made and choices that we make, for example, this morning, how did you choose what you're wearing? Think about that. It's not as simple as getting out of bed, opening your door, and just having one perfect outfit on a hanger before you, so no choices are needed to be made. But instead, you make a choice of what you're going to wear, maybe based on the weather, or based on how you're feeling that day, or it's Sunday, so you want to be a little bit more dressed up, or we are a casual church, so we love seeing Aloha shirts as well. You know, I made a choice to wear a dress today instead of pants. Phil made a choice to wear his sweater and his dark pants today instead of jeans and a t-shirt. And he obviously, of course, didn't choose to wear my dress, and I obviously, of course, didn't choose to wear his outfit. But it's a choice we make, even though we have all these choices in our closet. We have free will to choose the simple things, yes, is what clothes we are wearing this day, but also the hard things of what path we will take, of who we follow, of who we trust. And we have Christians, if we say we are true Christians, we say that then we must follow the path of Jesus Christ, to listen to his words, to reject evil, to renounce spiritual forces, and to repent of our sin. For when we hear the words, repent of your sin, we see this morning's passage where Jesus proclaims, repent, for the kingdom of God has come, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This morning's passage, Jesus is talking about repenting. But we first must see the journey that he took to get to the point where he is proclaiming for all to repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. We know in this morning's passage that Jesus has withdrawn from Galilee because he has heard of his cousin John's arrest. Now imagine Jesus hearing of what has happened to his cousin John, a cousin who he loves, and he knows what his cousin John will be facing. John is arrested, and John will most likely be imprisoned. John will most likely be tried. John will most likely suffer and feel pain. Jesus knows all these things, and Jesus knows there is even the possibility of John facing death. For Jesus is in a time of mourning, and in his time of mourning, he knows he is at a weak point in his life. A weaker point, believe it or not, than when he was fasting and starving those 40 days. A weaker point in his life when he didn't have a place to live but lived in the wilderness. A weaker point in his life than when he was away from his family. It is a weak point in his life because he knows a loved one is hurting and he may lose that person. We must also recognize when we are weak in our own lives as well, to recognize the true times that we are weak and to be honest about those times. To then say to the Lord, I don't blame you for putting me in this situation, but I thank you for seeing me through this situation. And Jesus, I think, is doing just that by his actions. For when he hears of the news of John being arrested, he leaves Nazareth and goes instead to Capernaum. And now the people might think, why is Jesus leaving Nazareth? Doesn't he want to stay with family and friends? Doesn't he want to support all those that are also worried about John? Doesn't he want to be in a place that he can maybe do something to help his cousin John? No, instead, Jesus is fulfilling the words of the prophet Isaiah. For you know that there is a person that will come in the darkness and be a light to the people, who will shine light on the shadows, the words the prophet Isaiah reminds. So Jesus is then being known what his weakness is, the mourning, the being around sad families, and instead is following his path that he knows that God, his Father, is calling him to do, to instead go and begin his ministry. Because Jesus does go to Capernaum by the lake, and is it at the lake that he later calls his disciples. And he begins the very beginning of his ministry then by saying these words, to proclaim these words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now we know in the Bible, Jesus tells us many things in forms of like commandments, to love one another, to worship the Lord with all our hearts and minds. He gives us these commandments, but these first words that he says in the beginning of his ministry is repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Many say this is a demand from Jesus, a first demand that Jesus gives. Now, throughout the gospel, Jesus talks about repenting. In Luke 5:32, he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke 13:3, Jesus says, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And even after Jesus' death and resurrection, before his ascension, Jesus appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Matthew. And he says to them, the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all the nations. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is reminding of the importance of repentance, but he starts here in this morning's scripture from Matthew about repenting, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So when we think about repentance, and the youth and I have talked about this as well, and we think about the idea of what is the definition then of repent? If you look in different dictionary definitions, you often see the words to feel and then actions. So some examples I looked up, it says to feel remorse, to feel contrition, to feel self-reproach, to feel regret for past conduct. It always talks about feeling, but there needs to be an action in our idea of repentance. And so I love a definition I found then from an author named John Piper. And the author, John Piper, says, to repent is to call for radical inward change towards God and man. That is a neat idea. Instead of it's a feeling, it's an actual action for radical inward change towards God and man. We are called to repent of our sins, as Jesus begins his ministry with a reminder that we must repent. And Jesus' idea of repent is not new, for we know that in his times things were dark. People were worshiping other gods, greed and wealth was being stored up, and all these things were happening in Jesus' world, that he knew repentance was needed, that he was calling on the world to wake up, to repent of their sins, for kingdom of heaven was near. There's ties of many of Jesus' words, especially to the Hebrew Bible. There's a passage from Ezekiel that the prophet Ezekiel reminds the people that the Lord God of Israel speaks about repentance. It says, if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he committed, keeps all my statutes, does what is lawful and right, surely he will live and not die. For that is what repentance is, to do that inward change, to go away from all the sins that we have committed, to be honest with ourselves and know what we have done, but also to remember to keep the statutes, these sort of boundaries that God placed for us to follow, and do what is lawful and right. And that is what the youth are going to talk about as they look at confirmation, and when they make that vow that Sunday, to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, to reject the evil in this world, and to repent of their sins. For we know that we must do these things to continue on our path to be true disciples, followers of Christ. For as we travel together on this journey of Christianhood, if you call it, we start with these vows, and we'll continue looking at the different vows next week as well. But we must remember the words of Jesus, to first repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Let us pray. Loving God, we see you this morning and hear the way that you are present in our lives. We hear the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, who spoke the words to repent, for he began to clear the way in the wilderness, resisting sin and temptation and being the footsteps that we follow. We just ask only, Lord, that you continue to walk with us on this journey so that we may draw closer to you, turning away from sin and receiving your forgiveness. In your Son's name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Eva. Now it's time for offering. I'd like to invite the ushers forward. All rise for the doxology. Let us pray. Father God, we know that you give us everything, all that we need and all that we could want. You want to give us peace and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit. And so, Lord, we come to you. Help us to put down our pride. Help us to not submit to earthly desires. Help us, God, to walk humbly and to resist temptation as much as we can. Lord, help us to be thankful and to always turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now it's time to review some announcements, which you can find on the right-hand side of the bulletin. Are there any announcements that need to be added or highlighted? No? Okay. Okay, if not, then let's move on to our closing hymn, Thine Be the Glory. Would you please stand?
Jordan, to thy home.